We have two cases on this morning's docket. We trust that you all are familiar with our lighting system. My only reminder today will be that rebuttal time is intended for rebuttal only. And with that, we'll call case 18-31121, Sinak versus Orkin. Mr. I'm going to apologize for your name, Mr. Laperouse.
Laperouse, before you, I'm interested in your argument, but I will be particularly interested in, I don't know about others here on the panel, but about the vapor barrier. What is it and how does it work?
Sure. So if would you like me to start and explain that?
Well, start where you like. I'm not familiar with that. I don't know if it's a membrane or a substance or a treatment. So if you can at some point fill us in, I'd appreciate the edification.
I will. Absolutely, Your Honor. Thank you. May it please the court. Ted Laperouse on behalf of the appellants Christopher and Audra Sinak. This case is not a simple termite contract interpretation case as Orkin would have the court believe. There are issues that take it well outside of the four corners doctrine contract analysis, and there are extraordinary and distinct episodes of misrepresentations, negligence, and unscrupulous behavior on the part of a nationally branded giant who sells to its customers peace of mind and protection for their homes. There are also many issues of fact in dispute that if the trial court had drawn every inference in favor of the Sinaks, as it's required to do, obviously, it could never have dismissed the Sinak's claims on a motion for summary judgment. Summary judgment was not only inappropriate, but to me, it's dangerous to the rule of law when you've got this many fact issues in dispute. And while it's not my intent to focus on facts, I will hit the vapor barrier, but I do want to focus on law. I do feel that certain facts are necessary to this proceeding. Prior to 2007, the Sinaks maintained a full repair guarantee policy with Orkin. And Orkin calls that full repair guarantee policy an OR guarantee, or ownership repair guarantee.
Is this the agreement that you all, that your clients inherited from the previous owners?
That's correct. It's tab one in the materials that we gave to you. I'm not sure if you've got those.
We do have them.
Okay.
So this is just a technical question, but is this a different address? And the other
address
was kind of confusing.
It was renumbered by the city.
Okay.
It's the same.
But there's no dispute amongst the parties. This is the right agreement.
That's correct.
This is binding on the parties in addition to the later agreements.
Yes, Your Honor. Okay. Yes, Your Honor. The ownership repair guarantee was very important to the Sinaks. This is Orkin's Cadillac policy, and the Sinaks home is valued at $2 million plus. It was very important for them to have this type of guarantee. And so when Orkin approached the Sinaks in 2007 and said, hey, we'd like to add Formosan coverage to your existing OR guarantee because right now it only covers subterranean termites, the Sinaks said, great, let's do it. And they actually added coverage to their barn and to their house. And paid Orkin for that coverage. And in doing so, Orkin presented them with two different Orkin-drafted, confusing and muddled agreement forms. And the Sinaks signed those agreements thinking that, as Orkin was telling them, they would have now Formosan coverage added to their OR policy.
I take it one of the key issues is this 91 agreement says ownership repair guarantee.
Correct.
That's the OR you're referring to.
Yes, sir.
As well as the treatment. And you all think that there's ownership repair guarantee in your later agreements?
Yes, Your Honor.
Where is that language that you would draw our attention to?
So I would draw your attention to two issues. First of all, handwritten through the boilerplate terms, subsequent to whenever these boilerplate terms were drafted, there is the words, add on to original account 588129. And it actually should have said 5888129. But to the SYNACs, that is an important designation written through the middle of the agreement, because that, to them, represents their intent that, that Formosan coverage was being added to their original account, the OR account.
Didn't that number just identify the house? It's not referred to on the contract. It's not a contract number or anything. Isn't that just the house that they were insuring?
It is the policy number that is issued.
Well, I don't see it on the policy.
Yes, sir. So if you would take a look at tab four actually is a termite inspection report that contains the number 588129.
But why is that inconsistent with it just being identifying the house?
Well, because it's a policy, because it's our belief it's a policy. The 588129 number was included on the inspection report from 2002 when it was still owned by Mr. Eshte. And then later, that same number applies to the SYNACs policy.
Is your point that that number signifies an OR policy?
Absolutely.
As opposed to just an account number?
Absolutely. It signifies the add-on. It's the language, handwritten language, says add-on to original account number.
No, I see that, but it says account number. And so what I'm trying to do is understand your argument as to why just reciting that number signifies a rather expensive undertaking by Orkin.
Sure. It's the language is all taken together. Your Honor, no one knows what add on to original account means.
Isn't that a problem? You said no one knows. How's
well,
that been?
To the SYNACs, it means that their Formosan coverage was added to their OR policy.
Well, wouldn't a natural way to do that be to put the contract number that had previously covered the property rather than just putting that number, which to me means the house or with the account, the old SYNAC account?
Sure, they could have done that. You know, these are Orkin's forms, Your Honor. You know, what the SYNACs know is they were being told at the time by the salesman, we're gonna add Formosan coverage to your existing repair guarantee. You're gonna be covered for all types of termites here. And they wrote that through the middle. And then years later, year and year after year after year, they give them termite inspection reports that say you indeed have an OR guarantee. They don't say
your argument is that the original agreement was incorporated by reference and that this is simply a supplement to the original contract.
That's what the SYNACs believe. Yeah.
All of the provisions of the subterranean coverage would apply now to Formosan.
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct.
How is that consistent with the integration clause in the Formosan contract?
Sure. First of all, Your Honor, when you've got ambiguities in the contract, which you not only have the handwritten one, you have the two typewritten ones, which one of them says, with the sole exception of any claim for termite damage repairs, customer waives any claim in any lawsuit. Then it also says customer acknowledges that Orkin is performing a service and waives any claim except termite damage repairs as set out above. With the language modifying the original boilerplate, it's the SYNAC's position that now Formosan coverage, this is what they were told, now Formosan coverage is added to your original account. And Orkin continued to let the SYNACs believe that for many years later by issuing those inspection reports confirming that they had an OR guarantee. The CPP form that you're talking about, Continuous Protection Plan form, is designated as a U1. That's Orkin's coding system. They never told the SYNACs, you have a U1 or you have an LC, which is a retreatment only. Year after year after year, they said, you have an OR guarantee. And the SYNACs relied on that in paying them every year.
And where is that? Where are these annual references to OR?
If you would look at tab 5, Your Honor, it is the that's just one example of the many inspection reports that were given. You can see in 2012, Orkin was representing to them that they had an OR type guarantee.
Where?
It's on the top, I believe it's the top right, Your Honor. If you see a third line down, guarantee type OR. And that was just one of several of these that were given to them year after year.
All right. What here makes clear that this covers Formosan? Because this could just simply be a reference to the 91.
Well, OR refers to, it is. It refers to ownership repair guarantee.
Right. Which everybody agrees you have under the 91 agreement. I think the question is.
It doesn't say OR guarantee. Except for Formosan termite.
Well, it says subterranean, though, doesn't it, on this very exhibit, number 5? Am I missing the Formosan reference?
It says it on down at the bottom on, excuse me, let me pull that. It says, if you look down in the box below, we're on exhibit 5, right. Formosan coverage and add-on.
Okay,
and it says OR, Formosan coverage and add-on. How in the world, Louisiana Civil Code Article 2056 says documents, standardized form documents, must be interpreted against the party who furnished the text. On top of all of this, Your Honors, there's no certainty that the CPP form even is the form that applies to the house. Many of Orkin's employees, including their service manager, testified that the special services agreement form, which is the tab 3, was the form that they routinely used to add termite coverage, Formosan coverage to policies where it wasn't on there before. And all of these issues, Your Honors, bring up the fact that the Sonacs were told one thing. Orkin supplied these confusing, ambiguous documents that require outside evidence for their intent to be understood.
Why, if you just take the CCP contract as an integrated agreement, unless you can get parole evidence in, why isn't that the entire contract?
Because once the words were modified,
once
the
what?
Only person that can determine what that means.
What was modified?
The CPP form. When Orkin wrote add on to original contract through the middle of that document.
Okay.
Never mind the other confusing terms in there about damage repairs being excluded. But when they wrote through the middle, the only person, because the Sonacs believe that means, okay, now I've got Formosan coverage for my OR guarantee. The only person that can make that determination on what that means is a jury, because there's no way to interpret that other than it could mean several different things.
Okay.
You've got 5 minutes left. Do you want to pivot to your tort theory?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you. So the court completely disregarded the Sonacs claims in negligence. And it basically said that all of the Sonacs claims arose out of their contract, but that's not the case. It can't be said that any of these muddled contracts contain any agreement or obligation on the part of Orkin to serve as an engineer and specify how in the manner and where this vapor barrier was supposed to be attached to the house. There's the issue with the vapor barrier is it's like a Bisqueen layer that Orkin instructed them to attach to the underside of the house to prevent moisture from hurting the wood. What it did, though, was it actually created the opposite effect, and it served as like a sauna that attracted moisture and attracted termites, and it's undisputed that vapor barrier actually caused a lot of the termite damage in this case.
What evidence is there of that?
Well, no one disputes it. It's undisputed that the vapor barrier...
The vapor barrier in whole or in part caused the termite infestation.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Well, we'll hear from counsel. I'm not so sure they agree with that. But with regard to the vapor barrier, did Orkin instruct how it was to be installed and,
yes, Your
and
Honor.
Whom they should hire to install it?
They didn't suggest whom they should hire. They told them how to do it and where to do it.
Did they approve it after it was installed?
They did. They sent a letter. They sent a letter after thanking the Synacs for taking those measures.
Is there evidence in the record that they inspected the barrier after it was installed?
My clients testified that they did.
Okay.
That they came out. They sent a letter thanking them for doing it.
The letter's not in the record, though, I didn't find it.
I believe it is, Your Honor. I believe it is.
I didn't find it.
Okay. I believe it is, but I can check on that.
And this is a negligence theory, is that right?
It's a negligence theory.
So where do you get a duty? Because Orkin's obviously contracting to do various things. It's not contracting to do this. Is there a Louisiana case that you can cite that suggests there's a duty here?
Well, when Orkin assumed the role of a design professional and told them how and where to install this vapor barrier, it assumed a delictual or tort duty.
What's your best case for that proposition?
Your Honor, there's several. There's the Dubin case. There's a case by this own circuit, the Huggs case from 1989, that states, in Louisiana, when one acts negligently in performing its contract, they commit both an active breach of contract and active negligence. Your Honor, also, I want to mention this while my time is...
Let me ask you one other thing. There are all kind of release language in this contract, assuming it applies. So why is the contract not release Orkin from a negligence claim?
I would argue, number one, Your Honor, that language, a jury needs to determine exclusionary language now applies after the ambiguity of the contract. Second of all, we don't have that in the special services agreement, which could have been the one that applied to the house. But I would argue, to answer even further, the trial court ignored the gross negligence claims. In Louisiana, as you know, you cannot negotiate away or disclaim liability for gross negligence. That's Louisiana Civil Code Article 2004. And we have several events of recklessness and tortious disregard that, if the jury finds that rose to a level of gross negligence, the Synacs would be entitled to recover their provable damages. Your Honor, I'm almost out of time, so I want to thank you for your time. There are several episodes of bad faith on the part of Orkin, one of which, the most egregious, we think, is when they actually denied even having a contract with us after they discovered that there's going to be millions of dollars in repair costs.
Thank you. You've reserved 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Urquhart?
Yes, sir. Good morning, Your Honors. Quentin F. Urquhart, Jr. on behalf of Orkin Exterminating Company. Contrary to what counsel just presented to you, this case presents a very simple and straightforward question. Did Orkin ever contract to repair Formosan termite damage in the Synac home? The answer to that is no.
The obligation Orkin undertook was very narrow, wasn't it, to inspect and treat?
That is correct, Your Honor. Right from the beginning in 1991, Orkin validly restricted the obligations which it undertook at this property. In 1991, it agreed to cover the property only for native subterranean termites. And I've been doing this work now for many, many years, and there's two main distinctions in termite treatment contracts that are at the heart of everything. The first is the distinction between a retreatment contract and a repair contract. The second distinction is between native subterranean termites and Formosan termites. Both of those distinctions go to the heart of the three contracts that are at issue in this case. that 1991 contract, the original agreement, expressly said that it did not cover Formosan termites in three different places.
Before we get to the Formosans, let's be clear. In the 1991 contract, you just made a distinction. Is the OR guarantee, what does that guarantee with regard to subterraneans back at the first contract?
Sure, Judge.
Is that also repair? He says OR means to
Correct.
Repair.
Judge, if you read the language of the OR repair guarantee that was issued in 1991, it specifically says that while that person owns the home, Orkin will agree to repair any subterranean termite, native subterranean termite damage that occurs. And it specifically says will not cover Formosan termites. It further said, although this really isn't an issue that's before the court, but I want to make sure it's clear, that that repair guarantee only went with the existing owner. If the contract was transferred to a new owner more than a year after the original treatment date, the repair guarantee did not go. So when Dr. Sinak purchased this property in 2003, 12 years after Orkin originally treated it, if he had looked and said, oh, OR, what does that mean? And he had pulled out that agreement, he would have seen right away it didn't cover Formosans, and it doesn't cover repairs for me for subterraneans because I'm assuming this contract 12 years later.
But you're not denying, though, just to be clear, you're not denying that the OR, whatever the OR covers, it continues to cover the Synacs.
Correct. It continued to cover this. We are never denying, Judge, that they didn't get a contract. They always had a contract on this property. Our position is they have never had a contract under which Orkin agreed to repair Formosan termite damage, ever. That's our position.
Well, they did after 71, though, or...
No. Formosan termite damage, Your Honor.
To repair it, huh?
Correct. Orkin has never undertaken an obligation to repair Formosan termite damage at this property. That's exactly what Judge Zaney found.
But they're not just suing you in breach of contract. Right, they're also suing you under unfair trade practices.
That is correct, Your Honor, and I'm happy to address those assertions as well.
Please do, because as I understand their narrative, it's essentially that you had these contracts that were either didn't cover or at least were kind of hard to follow. And I get that they're not certainly not explicit as to what they want, but they're saying they're also telling you that your representatives were telling them verbally, oh, don't worry, this is going to cover Formosan. Why should that question not go to a jury?
Well, because, Your Honor, that's not what the Louisiana Unfair Trade Practices Act was all about. The Louisiana Unfair Trade Practices Act, as this court is aware, is called a junior FTC Act. It's meant primarily to address pervasive and ongoing trade practices and conduct by companies that are anti-competitive and anti-consumer. When you have a simple, straightforward private contract case where one party agrees to do certain things and the other party says, no, you agreed to do something else, that is a contract dispute. And this court has held...
I think they're arguing deception, though.
What's that now?
They're alleging essentially fraud, right? That you all promised one thing, but the contracts only said something else.
Correct.
I take it that Louisiana UPTA, UTPA, covers fraud?
It would cover fraud if it fell within the scope of the act, Your Honor. But here, if what they're saying is correct, it would turn every single breach of contract case into a Louisiana Unfair Trade Practices Act case. Because all that a person would need to say is, you know what, they defrauded me. And if that's all it took, we'd see Lutwa cases every single time someone sued in breach of contract. And we don't. And that's because this is a very, very narrow cause of action. As this court said in the, I believe, Turner case, Turner versus Purina Mills, the statute does not provide an alternative remedy for simple breaches of contract. There is a great deal of daylight between a breach of contract claim and the egregious behavior the statute prescribes. In this case, you've got a simple contract dispute. Anyone can try to characterize that contract dispute as fraudulent or misleading or deceptive, but just because they try to characterize it that way doesn't bring it within the ambit of LUPTA.
Under what provision of the contract was Orkin acting in recommending a vapor barrier?
Absolutely, Judge. If Your Honor looks at page 2 of the original 1991 agreement, on page 2 of that agreement, on the reverse side, and I will tell Your Honor exactly which paragraph number that you should look at, it's paragraph number 2. It says here in part.
Tell me again where you're looking. Page
sure, Judge. This is in the 1991 agreement. Okay. That's going to be on page 2 of it. Paragraph number 2, and it says, I understand that structural or mechanical problems which result in water leakage inside my building or through the roof or outside walls of my building may destroy the effectiveness of Orkin's treatment, and this could allow termites to continue to exist in my building. If such a condition is discovered, and that's discovered by Orkin, I will be responsible at my own expense for making the repairs necessary to correct the structural or mechanical problem. And after I make the repairs, Orkin will treat my building again to control the infestation. So what every pest control operator in the state of Louisiana is required to do, Judge, each year is go out and inspect. They go out and inspect.
It's not a question of Orkin just discovering it. Orkin says, here's what you need to do to correct the problem.
Correct. Well, Judge, I think it would be... I don't know if absurd is too strong a word, but absurd for a pest control operator to go out and say, you know what, you have a moisture problem there, I can't tell you what to do about it. Orkin said, you need to put a moisture barrier up, that's what you do in order to reduce moisture underneath the property. Orkin did not design that moisture barrier. Orkin told them they needed to get one put up, they hired the contractor to do it. Orkin later observed that they had put one up. The problem with the moisture barrier that they put up was whoever put it up, they didn't put it up in a way to allow the home to breathe. And that's why there was moisture damage, which occurred.
What about the June 18th, 2013 letter? I believe it was marked, it's Bates marked CNAC 150. I think it's attached to the deposition, but I don't know if that's in the record. But Orkin responds to the installation of the vapor barrier. Why is that not, let me back up.
Go ahead.
One step over. Why is it not, if you're saying it's rooted in the contract and Orkin's advice to put the vapor barrier in wound up being faulty or could possibly have been faulty, why is that not a valid allegation of a breach of the contract? In other words, now we're back to breach of contract as opposed to a tort theory.
Well, because Orkin didn't breach his contract by making a recommendation, there's no one, not even their own expert, would suggest that this home didn't need to reduce the moisture that was underneath it. Because of the way they added on to the home, they cut off the natural circulation that existed to keep the home dry.
But did they not approve the installation, this June 18th, 2013 letter?
They never approved the installation, Your Honor. They observed that it had been done.
Well, they said, thank you for making all these corrections that we recommended. Isn't that approving it?
Well, Judge, I wouldn't call it approving it because all Orkin saw was that they had put it up. Orkin's not, I would agree with Mr. Laparouse on this. Orkin is not an expert in moisture barrier installation. You have all to right. hire the correct person to do that to ensure that the property does ventilate correctly.
Okay, but as I understand it, you want us to stick to this CCP contract. And I don't see in here anywhere, maybe I missed it, that it's Orkin's duty to discover problems where moisture is getting into the house. You talked about repairmen doing it, but that's not in the contract. I mean, you know, Orkin relies strongly on the limited obligations it had to treat and inspect. So, I mean, you can't have it both ways.
No, I understand that, Your Honor. And what Orkin does is, within their scope of expertise, is they go out and they inspect the property annually. The state of Louisiana requires them to do that as part of their obligations.
Well, I understand inspect, but I don't see discover in the contract, and I don't see recommend.
It's directly, Your Honor, I'm sorry, it's directly in the 1991 contract.
Well, wait a minute. You say that is totally irrelevant.
Well, no, I'm not saying it's totally irrelevant.
Yeah, well, I understand your position to be that the 07 contract superseded and replaced the 91 contract that had nothing to do with Formosan contracts, termites.
No, Judge, that's really not what I'm saying.
So you say both of them apply?
Let me go back, though, and make sure the court understands what the plaintiffs are saying. The plaintiffs are trying to turn the 1991 contract, not the 2007 CPP. They're trying to turn the 1991 contract into a repair guarantee. That 1991 contract directly stated that Orkin was going to discover and report problems of moisture underneath the property. And if they did discover them, the homeowner needed to repair them.
So you rely on that language in the 91 contract?
I do, Your Honor.
Well, how do you do that when the 07 contract says it's an integrated contract? Is it 91 or 99, not contract?
1991 was the original
91 contract. Has in bold print all over the contract, this has nothing to do with Formosan contract or termites. So, I don't see how you can claim on the one hand that the 07 contract is an integrated contract and that governs the rights of the parties, but this other contract that says all over it that it has nothing to do with Formosan contract somehow applies. Or you can't cherry pick
I'm not trying to cherry pick, but they have to pick sort of their poison here. So which contract are they trying to recover under? If they're trying to recover under the 1991 contract, it clearly says it does not cover Formosan termites. If they want to try and amend it to add Formosan coverage, then they need to live with the rest of what the contract says, okay?
Well, it seems to me if you go in with a brand new contract and you say this provides for Formosan termite protection, the 91 contract says it doesn't. You've got a new contract.
I agree, and I'm happy to go with the 2007 contract if you take that by itself. And under that 2007 contract, it clearly says in multiple places that this is a retreatment-only guarantee.
Okay.
It is not a repair guarantee, and the homeowner waives any claim at all against Orkin. Let me bring up one other thing that's, I think, critical about that 2007 contract, and this is something they would love to ignore. It's not even addressed, really, by them in their briefing. In that 2007 contract, they love to say, well, there's an ambiguity created because this limitation of liability clause refers to the possibility of termite repairs. Well, Judge Zaney disposed of that quite easily. He said, look, there is no termite repairs set forth above, so it doesn't add anything. The critical part of that limitation of liability clause, though, follows later. It says that if you are making a claim, if there is any claim for termite damage repairs, then your damages are limited to the amount that has been paid under the terms and conditions of the contract. That's the total that you're allowed to recover. And Judge Zaney pointed out they've already received many multiples of that already from Orkin. So they don't have a right to recover anything more under the provisions of the agreement.
They just get their money back, is what you're saying.
Correct. And they've already gotten many times more than their money back, Your Honor.
Let me ask you.
Go ahead, Judge.
Let's talk about the tort claim a minute.
Sure.
There's a provision in the contract that says, it's on the first page of the CCP contract, I don't know, about 12 lines down. It sets out Orkin's responsibilities to treat, and then it goes on down and says, customer agrees to maintain the treated structure free from any condition conducive to termite infestation. And then it goes on including a whole bunch of things, including moisture, improper ventilation, et cetera. So I take that as a disclaimer by Orkin that they have any obligation to do that. Now, why are you not placing that obligation on the customer instead of assuming it yourself?
That is a great question, Your Honor. And the reason is that for the purposes of the motion for a summary judgment that we filed, we didn't need to allege that and plead that at that time. But certainly, if this case were to have gone to trial, that would have been front and center of one of the things that we would have alleged if they claimed that this agreement, the 2007 agreement, is the one that applies to the home. But we probably don't even need to get to that, Judge, in some ways, but I agree with your interpretation completely, because that agreement says it's retreatment only. So you don't even need to spend the time fighting with that, because it's a retreatment only guarantee.
Okay, now getting to the tort case, we have... A a number of Louisiana cases, including a Supreme Court case, Dufresne, where an employer's employee driving his own car was involved in an accident, and so the party who's injured sues the employer. The employer's carrier denies coverage because he doesn't have non-owned auto coverage. And so the insured, the employer, then sues his agent and says, you didn't provide me with the coverage that I requested. I requested all possible coverage. And so the issue was whether there was a contract statute of limitations or the tort statute of limitations. Mm-hmm. And so the court said, because there was no specific obligation on the part of the agent to provide non-owned auto insurance, it's not a breach of contract, it's a tort case. So the one-year tort statute of limitations applies. Now, why doesn't that apply here? If Orkin hasn't affirmatively assumed any obligation to maintain, to discover or main, or to discover conditions that would be conducive to moisture, and then went further and disclaimed that it was their responsibility and put it on the customer, why isn't that analogous to that case? There's no specific assumption of Orkin of the obligation to do the thing that the plaintiff is alleging was done negligently by Orkin.
Judge, I would have to go back. I vaguely recall the case that you're referring to, and I have to go back and look at it.
Well, I mean, there are
specifically,
a number of cases
the basic proposition I understand, okay? And I guess that my answer to you on that would be that simply courts have drawn the distinction between duties that arise from contract and duties that arise from tort. And we specifically pointed out in our brief a case called Duke, D-U-C, versus Orkin that was that brought up exactly this issue of whether a negligence claim could be asserted against a pest control contractor outside of what the contract said. The court in that case found, no, you cannot maintain a tort claim. You cannot convert what is a breach of contract claim into a tort claim.
Yeah, but wasn't that case one where they said a negligent treatment of something that Orkin was doing under the contract?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Which is exactly what they're alleging here.
No. They're alleging here that Orkin assumed an obligation that they didn't have in the contract. That is to give advice and recommendations on how to prevent moisture, and that instead of doing good, did harm.
Well, Judge, again, I would say that all that Orkin did, and it was obligated to do, was point out to the customer what they needed to do to correct a moisture condition, which was something that any pest control operator should do. They should let you know what you need to do in order to fix it.
Well, and you don't put that in the contract.
Well, Judge, it is in the 1991 contract. I will concede to you, as I read it again this morning myself, that there's not specific language in the 2007 continuous protection plan contract that says that. But again, remember, the plaintiffs are saying that contract isn't the one that applies.
Well, I'm trying to get your position.
I understand that. And Judge, I concede that the 2007 contract doesn't have the same language that the 1991 contract has about the discovery of termite infestation. To wrap up,
let me ask you one thing about special service agreement. We had a 30-day special service agreement. What is that all about?
Yes, Judge. So what a special service agreement does, it's kind of called an odd job agreement or a one-time agreement. It's meant to do a single one-time treatment of a particular piece of property. It's used often for detached structures like sheds by the company that aren't going to be put under a continuous protection plan. So they do a one-time treatment. They said, look, if you have a problem within 30 days, we'll come back out, but we aren't giving you any guarantee. We aren't giving you any repair obligation, any retreatment obligation in this.
So that only applied to the barn?
Our position was that applied to the barn. Their position is somehow that amended the 1991 contract. The problem with that argument is you can't amend the 1991 contract because of the integration clause that Your Honor referred to, which says to amend it, you've got to have something in writing signed by a corporate officer of Orkin. They don't have that. They have nothing with that.
Also, to be clear, you do not agree, Orkin does not agree that the any shortcomings in the vapor barrier installation have anything to do with Formosan termite damage in this house?
They have to do with creating a condition conducive to Formosan termites. And the reason I was shaking my head when Your Honor observed me before was I wanted to make sure that distinction is made clear. The vapor barrier doesn't cause termites to go into a house. A vapor barrier can create a moisture condition, and termites like moisture. So one goes before the other. And when Orkin, this wasn't mentioned, when Orkin went back out subsequent to when they first saw the vapor barrier being put up and saw that it was holding water, what did they do? They immediately told them, you need to take that down. So what they would have said, well, wait a minute, that's not an obligation you undertook. We don't want you to tell us that. Of course they wanted us to tell them that, to take that, you know, to get that water out of there, because it's conducive to termites. So we took on the obligation of inspecting it each year. When we saw that the moisture barrier and the way that their contractor had installed it was creating a problem, we immediately brought it to their attention.
Well, not immediately. I mean, it was, a year after, well, let's see. The letter was written in April, June.
Correct, Your Honor.
And April is when the barrier was put in, I think.
Yeah, when I said immediately, Judge, I meant immediately after we saw the water gathering underneath it. We told them about that. We sent them a letter telling them about the fact you've got water being held there.
I didn't see the letter. Is that in the record?
It should be in the record, Your Honor, and we'll be happy to.
Well, it was certainly after June when he wrote the letter.
Correct. And so my point is, when we go back out as a pest control operator, we find things like that, and we point them out to the homeowner and said, look, you need to get your vapor barrier installer back out there again to fix this to make sure it's installed correctly. So,
well, you understand that sometimes Louisiana cases say when you volunteer something to do something outside the contract, you may expose yourself to tort liability.
I understand that, Judge, but I would, I guess, analogize it to if I saw that you had a low, that your tire was low on your vehicle, and I said to you, you need to go have that checked, and you brought it to a repair shop, and they negligently repaired your tire. I'm not liable for that just because I pointed it out to you. That's the same thing here.
Your letter doesn't certify that it was installed properly.
No, it doesn't, Josh.
And you're not there coming back every month.
No,
sure,
once a year.
Moisture.
Once a year.
Anything else? Thank you, Judge. We have your argument.
Thank you very much.
Let's give counsel another 2 minutes. Thank you. Yes, sir.
First of all, I want to respond on the LUPTA issues. There's the Fidelic case, which has been cited. A LUPTA claim should not be dismissed unless it is clear that nothing unfair occurred. The court in that case expressly stated that LUPTA applied to companies that regularly did business and where there was an unbalanced bargaining position. That's what we have here. This case clearly fits, especially based on, and I could go through the numerous unscrupulous behavior and deceptive behavior on the part of Orkin if you want me to, and talk about the 8 or 10 points that we've got on that. But I want to also say that, you know, with respect to the CPP form, Mr. Urquhart actually just admitted that that form is ambiguous because he read through on the limitation of liability clause where it actually says, well, in the case of termite damage repair claims, it's limited. How in the world? These are Orkin's forms. Louisiana Civil Code Article 2056 is clear that when they're standard form agreements, they've got to be interpreted against the person that furnishes them.
What do you make of the language that I'm about to read, which strikes me as not at all ambiguous? Customer agrees that under no circumstances shall Orkin be held liable for any amount greater than the amount paid by the customer to Orkin.
I say that once they wrote through the terms, add on to original account, that it became unclear what any of that means, and a jury needs to determine what the contract now means, because the Synax understood it to mean...
This language wasn't struck. It's still there.
Well, it was struck. It was not struck. It was, but on the first page of that agreement,
I know what
add on to original account. So my position is...
So that means add this agreement to the account, the entire agreement.
Well, what the Synax understood it meant was they were getting Formosan coverage added to their original OR repair guarantee. That's what they were told by Orkin at the time.
What did they think the contract was that they signed?
Well, Your Honor, I mean, look, we have people that, you know, do things all the time and sign forms. They read through the forms later. They've testified that it wasn't, you know, they're being told at the time, this is what we're doing for you. They looked, there was this SSA form, there was a CPP form. They trused Orkin, you know, they had Orkin for years.
Yep, you're going to have trouble finding cases where courts have said you don't have to worry about what you sign.
Well, that's correct, except in the case where they did. They wrote through the middle saying add on to the original. Plus, you got this other typewritten language that's ambiguous in there. They also, you know, Orkin's own employees testified that the SSA form was routinely used to add Formosan coverage to policies that did not have it. It is not a congruent form with either the shed or the barn because, you know, there's the case law in Cascio v. Shoriak. It's well-settled Louisiana jurisprudence that a court cannot construe a contract in a manner that's going to lead to absurd consequences. There's nothing more absurd to think that back in 2007, the Synax were going to pay nearly $2,000 for some 30-day treatment. Again, no one from Orkin, they have no witness that can say what agreement went with this contract.
What's absurd about the client's clearly very unhappy with what happened, so the company gives all your money back?
Well, because...
Nothing absurd about that, right? It's a money-back guarantee.
Well, that's not what this was. This was a repair guarantee, according to the Synax. They were told it was a repair guarantee.
Thank you. We have your argument.
Thank you.
Case is submitted. We will call up the next case shortly.